Balzer and Bray and Harper Audio present Gimme Everything You Got by Iva Marie Palmer, performed by Caitlin Kelly. 1. The first day I ever gave a shit about soccer was September 4th, 1979, the day that Mr. McMahon showed up at Powell Park High. You know those moments when everything changes almost at once, like some kind of wave rolls over a room and whatever you had been doing gets washed away as it dawns on everyone that something way bigger is taking place? It was like that. It wasn't even like Bobby McMahon turned the tide on a particularly boring day. It had been eventful as hell. There'd been tryouts for The Sound of Music in third period. Every girl I knew was bonkers for the movie. The Rialto had brought it back for a special engagement that summer. I'd gone to see it with my best friends, Tina Warner and Candace, sometimes Candy, Trillo, who'd loved it. I was bored. Everyone in it was too nice. Except the Nazis, of course. I hadn't tried out for the play, but Tina and I had gone to watch Candace give it a go. Candace wanted a part because she was forever on boyfriend lookout, and school plays always seemed to yield a few new couples. She'd told me I should have auditioned because I was almost 17 and no one had ever touched my breasts. They were small and unevenly sized, though the slightly bigger right one had a Farrah Fawcett quality to it. I wasn't opposed to them being touched, but I'd never gone to even one school play starring a guy I'd be eager to have doing the honors. Anyway, despite Candace's spirited performance, Tina and I had our money on Peggy Darnell getting to be Maria, because during the auditions, while she was spinning, Julie Andrews style, her giant, braless, totally symmetrical boobs had busted out of her top, to the delight of our drama teacher. Julie Andrews was totally flat in the movie, someone at the end of our cafeteria table was saying. I couldn't see who through the mess of smushed paper bags and trays and girls leaning forward so other girls could help them with their hair. We messed with our hair at lunch a lot, in ways our mothers would say was unsanitary. But our cafeteria was a large gymnasium with long tables rolled out in the center for lunch periods, and the room smelled like sweat and feet. So what was a little hairstyling? Doesn't matter. Mr. Doberton is a total perv, I said knowingly, and took a sip of my Yoo-hoo. I practiced my knowing looks in the mirror sometimes because I liked hiding how little I actually knew. He's probably writing Peggy's jiggly tits on the cast sheet next to Maria right now. Our table became a laugh chamber, and it was precisely in the middle of that laughter that Bobby McMahon opened the double doors to the cafeteria. At 12:07 p.m., all concerns about who'd been overshadowed by D-cups became moot. You know those Coke commercials where you see the bubbles pouring mesmerizingly over ice and the liquid ripples like it's dancing and your mouth gets dry and all you want is a Coke, even if you've never had a Coke or you've just had one? In a way, I'd just had one. Sort of. Before I tell you any more about Bobby McMahon, whose name I didn't even know yet, I should explain. See, sometimes something will stir me up. On that day, it was the back of Alex Noddy's head in fourth period physics. His neck looked really nice, strong, but not too ropey, with his light hair cut in a clean line just below his earlobes. And since he didn't turn around, Alex Noddy's face would ruin everything. I imagined his neck was Paul Newman's. The long, hot summer, Paul Newman. My weird urge was to lick that line of hair. Fantasy Paul Newman did not think I was weird. His skin was warm, and he shuddered as he turned around to see me. Then, Paul Newman's lips were near mine, not even kissing, just breathing into my mouth like he wanted to kiss me. And
Sample complete. Ready to continue?